This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
I received this information. I was having a read through it from my friend Linda. And when I read through this, that's telling me here that one member of the SA Police Service dies by suicide every week on average. And if that doesn't highlight the mental health toll on South Africa's overworked and under-resourced first responders, then I don't know what. And I've got a list of other stats here. The study also released earlier this year among South African police members and paramedics showed 47.3% would qualify for a diagnosis of depression, almost 38% for generalized anxiety disorder, and almost 49% for post-traumatic stress disorder. I don't understand all of this, so I'm grateful for Dr. Siki Mdletshe, a member of the South African Society of Psychiatrists. Dr. Siki, good morning and welcome. We seem to have almost another pandemic on our hands. Hope you're well.
Good morning, and good morning to your listeners. I'm keeping well, thank you very much. And most definitely, you know, this could very well be called another pandemic, particularly affecting the members of society that respond to crises.
Yeah, and we're talking about the police here starting off, but, you know, to be a paramedic and to be an ambulance paramedic in this country, and never mind an emergency care nurse or doctor, and then I'm thinking of a big fire that's burning currently out near Gordon's Bay. Then we've got our firefighters as well. I mean, what they have to deal with, the general public, we actually really have no idea.
Absolutely. I mean, these men and women, you know, are at the forefront of traumatic scenes when they occur. They get exposed to very gruesome scenes as part of their daily work. The unfortunate part of it is that a lot of the time they don't get to access mental health services to the extent that's necessary to recover from those exposures. And a lot of the time, this is paired together with working hours that are not particularly friendly. So if you have a tired body that's seeing gruesome imagery all day and most of the time, and you have your own life situations, you can imagine that is a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, and we're seeing more and more as well. We see it mostly, I guess, in the news around the South African Police Service, but you know, they've reached breaking point and they're almost displaying scenes of violence even within their own families. And then, of course, there's sometimes a service pistol involved in that. One doesn't want to justify it, but I mean, as a professional, one almost feels like it's a matter of time for these things to start happening.
And this is why them having access to mental health services is critical and is important. This is why screening among them is important, because a lot of the time the mental illnesses go undiagnosed. I'm thinking particularly of post-traumatic stress disorder, where they have been exposed to traumatic scenes. With them, unfortunately, it's chronic, it's over a long time, and a lot of the time it's many of these traumatic incidents that they have been exposed to. You have undiagnosed post-traumatic stress disorder, and as part of its symptomatology, as part of the symptoms of the illness itself, the person becomes aggressive, becomes irritable, sometimes maybe starts acting out of character, you know, gets uses alcohol maybe excessively, becomes an alcoholic, as the family might say, and an absolute monster within the household where they live. And this gets seen as a cruel person, as a person that, you know, is evil within his family, within his household. And the unfortunate thing is, we'll always be shocked if we don't deal with the problem at its core, because ultimately what's happening is you've got undiagnosed mental illness going rampant and affecting not only the members themselves of the police service and of the services that are first responders, but affecting their families and ultimately their communities in a terrible way.
But if we know that these things are happening, why is more not done? What do you think the reason could be for that?
Yeah. So I wouldn't say that it's Absolutely, from a lack of trying. You know, there are employee wellness service, employee health services within the you know, both the police service and the different services that that employ first responders. Mm. The unfortunate thing with employee health services, firstly, is the fact that the numbers are usually not really adequate. So you'll find that, you know, there are maybe social workers, sometimes they'll have clergy, sometimes they'll have counselors employed within the service as employee wellness support, right? And and the number of those support services, a lot of the time, are really inadequate for the number of employees that are within the service.
Yeah.
That in itself, I think, is a smaller issue. I think a bigger issue is the fact that the utilization of the service has its own challenges. Yeah. Because, you know, when one is accessing those services, in a way, it's admitting to vulnerability,
true,
right? And in that admitting to vulnerability, we know that mental health stigma is a thing, and it's real.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you find situations where one will sit with their issue, even when they're aware there's an issue, let alone the fact that sometimes people aren't aware. But even when they're aware there's an issue, they may be hesitant to access services from the support service within the employer, because this is stigmatizing. This may paint you as being weak, and therefore maybe disqualify you from advancement in,
yes,
in the employment. This may very well see you worrying that the confidentiality may be compromised, and my problems are going to be known by my colleagues. You know, so a lot of these kind of issues then block the usage or cause people to not access even the scanty services that are there.
Mm.
So you know, this is a huge challenge, and you find that people perhaps may be more comfortable to access services where they feel that their confidentiality is assured, where they feel that they are not going to be stigmatized for having access. You'd be surprised that sometimes people who work within these kind of services, even when they do see professionals outside of the service, they'll be hesitant, for instance, to be booked up off work, because they'll say, no, you're a psychiatrist, and I would not want my employer, I'd rather my employer sees a medical certificate from my general practitioner, for instance, as opposed to one from either a psychologist or from a psychiatrist and the like. Just simply because of the stigma around mental illness.
Yeah, Dr. Siki, this is such a vicious circle, because the only change is only going to come through getting help, but getting help means there's a stigma, and so we don't want to get the help that we actually need. So we just—it's like we're caught in the cycle, and you know, there's part of me that's crying out that something needs to change. But how does one even do that? It feels like you're kicking up against a system that's so ingrained. How does change come? Because the only way to change these numbers is for something to change. So, I mean, who drives that change, and how do things change? I mean, it's easy to feel very demotivated around this.
Yeah, and the unfortunate thing is it only catches our attention because of the statistics, like
true,
the fact that you have police officers committing suicide almost weekly in South Africa, or violence within the households. You know, you get shock and horror stories where you'll hear that the police officer maybe shot themselves and shot their wife and children and that sort of thing. And these stories will make the headlines, and then we soon forget. But the truth is that's really just an eruption that should draw our attention to the much bigger issue at play. I do think that, you know, capacity in terms of the support services for, you know, the police service, for the emergency services, I do think capacity building is important, and also that collaboration is important, because we know that people will feel a lot safer, you know, for instance, seeing a psychologist off-site, not seeing someone within the service themselves. So, I mean, we can address the problem really by being creative around how these services are supplied, are made available to the workers. So, can they access the services perhaps off-site and anonymously without necessarily the information reaching the employer? And also, can the workers who are within the service, if their work can be focused not only on responding to crisis, but on screening, even large-scale screening, to pick up when there's an issue. I think when you have something quantified, you get a better understanding of how to respond to it. But when it is just speculation and we worry because of the incidents that occur, you know, we don't quite know the shape and form of the beast we're facing. So screening and large-scale screening, I think, is a very important and routinely so, you know, where you'd find that perhaps even as part of an annual checkup or, you know, twice a year or even more regularly for people who are in more exposed work. The other thing is the scheduling and the you know, the rotation planning, because not all work within the South African Police Service is exposed to gruesome scenes, right? And it's specific roles that are truly at the forefront of these gruesome scenes. Now, is it reasonable that someone, for instance, can spend 10 years doing that kind of work only and never rotating in work that you know, it gives a bit of reprieve, where, for instance, they're doing more administrative work behind the scenes, not at the forefront? So when you give thought to this kind of scheduling, because at the end of the day, we're dealing with humans, and even those that don't crumble visibly, there must be an impact. There must be some kind of an impact.
Yeah.
So if we have these systems inbuilt in the way that the work is planned, such that someone is not continuously and for long periods, protracted periods of time. Some people will tell you that for 20 years I've been doing this work, and specifically this kind of work that exposes me to extreme trauma. Now, you can imagine the impact that can have. I'm saying that when that is prevented by in-building into the human resource planning rotation, you know, in terms of risk profile of the work, this can go a long way. Another thing also is the shift scheduling, isn't it? Because we're saying if you are more tired, and I think you know it yourself in your own body, when you're tired, you're cranky.
True.
When you're tired, you're sensitive. The tiniest thing can upset you a lot when you're physically tired, and you tolerate a lot more. You have a bit more resilience when you're rested.
Yeah.
So now if your work shifts, you know, are long, you're working long shifts in high risk work, we really are setting you up for disastrous outcomes.
Mm.
So if we can give thought to those kind of things, because we need these services.
That's right.
You know, especially when you think about the kind of society we have and the kind of risk profile that we have in South Africa. We have high crime, and I know that's not what I'm here to talk about, but you know, we need services that protect communities, and so I think better planning around how these services are delivered and around the humans that do this work can really go a long way to ensure sustainability in the service provision.
Yeah, Dr. Siki, I'm going to jump in here. That's all we've got time for this morning. Thank you so much for at least bringing us some real practical ideas of how this can change and move forward. Now we just need the change agents in these areas to be able to start to drive this change, and hopefully we can see something different to what we're currently seeing with these statistics this morning. We so value your expertise and your time. Dr. Siki Mletaya, member of the South African Society of Psychiatrists, here's to a great day, and hopefully... yeah, we can connect again soon.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.